Kevin Matt talks with Matt Hardy.
There's nothing like a wrestling fan, you know, for better or for worse. How do you handle that, though? We're talking about people talking about your family, what they don't know about your family or your brother or you. How does one handle that from a day-to-day basis?
Something I joke about with the Young Bucks all the time. I said, if you would vanity search Matt Hardy on Twitter, I said, after you got through 100 replies, you'd want to quit the business and never be seen again. It's just, you just learn to deal with it. You know what I mean?
It's the Kick Rocks Wrestling Podcast with Evan T. Mack. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Good morning. Awesome to have you with us as we start out a Monday. I know that this past weekend, the final weekend in February, final weekend really before we start to get hot and heavy in March in terms of conference tournaments. We've got conference championships that are being won on the college basketball stage. Whether it's that kind of March Madness or whether it's the March Madness that we're seeing now in the NBA, specifically the West, buckle up. It may be like watching a car wreck, but you're not going to want to miss what we get in these final few weeks of the NBA regular season and then on into the postseason. I don't know. We might see that the Wild West, the Wacky West, the Weird West might end up giving college basketball and March Madness a run for its money, because there's almost no separation and it doesn't make sense from night to night, from game to game. This weekend, perfect picture of what we could see in the postseason in the West. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning to you. Thanks for hanging out with us. We've got a bunch of headlines to get to coming off of what was a crazy weekend. But as I say, we're very close to stepping into the month of March. I'm thinking out loud, but thinking somewhat seriously, that we'll see an NBA player eclipse 100 points and either tie or bypass Wilt Chamberlain's record for most points in a game in the next 3 years. If the NBA continues on its current trajectory, why not? Why not? We know now that 60 is the new 50. 50 is actually not that challenging anymore, says the girl who sits in a chair in a radio studio. But it's becoming more and more commonplace, similar to games in which 140 points are scored by one team. No big thing. 60 is the new 50. And now we have two players over 70 in the NBA this season. If you missed it, it was a show. It was history for Damian Lillard.
Reddish holds onto the ball, finds Dame off the screen. He goes left, crossover, steps back, fades away, three, buries it! Franchise record, 64 for Damian Lillard. He is crushing every scoring record in franchise history. 121-105. Dame's got his hands on his knees in the corner. Dame fighting through, gets tripped up, now gets the ball out on the wing, puts up a challenge three, and hits it. 69 for Damian Lillard. 126-109. Dame's got it. 145 to play. Bump, drives, runs it up. Yes! 70! 71 for Damian Lillard.
Oh, man, I got goosebumps. I got chills. I'm seeing history.
Dame is the eighth player in NBA history to score 70 or more.
We got, I think, 23, 22 games left after this. And we need to win as many as possible. And, you know, obviously being shorthanded, I know that it's going to be a team effort, but I feel like I got to, you know, do my best to be aggressive and just try to do what I can to make sure that we get some wins. And, you know, that's all the case was tonight. I wanted to be in attack mode. I got it going, and I just stayed aggressive.
He scored on dunks, which is rare, not typically part of Dame's arsenal, though he was feeling it last night, had a couple of drives to the hoop in which he got by two or more defenders accelerated and had a couple of dunks, had some drives, and also had some deep shots. In fact, second most triples made in an NBA game, tying a couple of other players, one shy of the record, but 13 triples for Dame. He goes 13 of 22 from beyond the arc, 14 of 14 from the free throw line. Overall, has 71 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists in 39 minutes. 71 points in 39 minutes. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that this Damian Lillard was involved in a game like what we had Friday night, when the Clippers and the Kings battle into double overtime in what turns out to be the second highest scoring game in NBA history. If that's Dame and his team is scoring 175 points, I can see him getting to 100 or getting pretty darn close. It's going to happen. What you're going to see is, again, one of these long games where defense is not, either it falls off late because guys are tired or it's not really a factor. We know that NBA scoring averages are skyrocketing. At the end of the season, it'll be fascinating to get the full perspective, the big picture, about how much scoring has increased. Because commonplace, 140-point games, 130-point games, it's nothing. And we just had two teams score over 175. I get it was double overtime, but that's only an extra 10 minutes. That's an all-star score, but actually an all-star score from 10 years ago. Not even an all-star score from 2023. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. A franchise record for the Portland Trail Blazers. A career high for Damian Lillard, but actually his fifth career game with at least 60 points. So this is what I'm saying. We're not talking about a huge stretch to imagine a player like a Donovan Mitchell, who had 71 earlier this year. Steph, I think that'd be a little harder just because Steph doesn't play as many minutes. Although his latest injury is more of a freak thing. He's been really durable. Last year, he was durable. I could see a guy getting hot, hitting a bunch of threes, even a Klay Thompson. He had 42 the other night, and I think he had 12 more threes. So he's done that multiple times. A guy getting hot, a game goes long, and his teammates are feeding him. Because when you've got a guy like Damian Lillard who has a hot hand, well, yeah, you need to feed him. And it was every indication that this was going to be a huge night for him because he had 41 at the half.
The biggest thing for me was, I mean, first of all, having 41 at the half was insane. And then we come out in the second half, and in the third quarter, he just made every right play. They started firing on him at half court. He didn't shoot his first shot until, like, I think 8:41 on the clock. And then his second shot, like 7:20 or something. He just wasn't forcing at all. He understood what they were going to come out and do. And that takes some incredible, like, discipline to know, like, all right, I'm not going to force it. I know I can get my career high, but I'm going to just fall back. And that was so impressive to me.
Chauncey Billups talking about watching the show that Damian Lillard put on. And he said early he started to see a few shots go in. He recognized that he was feeling it. And also mentioned that they were shorthanded, so he felt like he had more responsibility on his shoulders. Root Sports Northwest is where we got that initial reaction. But how does he stay ready for games like this when so much could be asked of him, but also when he has to step up in a void? Certainly, if the Portland Trailblazers are going to turn this ship around, so to speak, and start to take advantage of their opportunities.
It comes down to preparation. And, you know, that might sound like an easy thing to say, but in the summer, in the off season, it's not just the training, it's, you know, the type of recovery you have, the type of rest that you have, how you take care of your body, how you take care of your mind and your spirit. And I think in the summer, I don't take those things lightly. I train hard. I give myself rest. I stay on the schedule. You know, I take how disciplined I am in those things very serious. And I think when you get to training camp and you get to the season, and you get into games like this and where you got to play extended minutes or you're getting a lot of attention or you got to be able to produce and get the job done while dealing with a lot, I think all of those things, you know, it becomes worth it and it shines through. So I just think it's all about the investment that I put into, you know, being the player that I am.
Not just that, but his investment in Portland has always really impressed me. So the Blazers go for 131 last night. Damian Lillard has 71 of those. The rest of his teammates have 60. It's after hours on CBS Sports Radio. How long until we see a player match Wilt? 1960s, early 1960s with the 76ers. Wilt Chamberlain scores 100 points in a game. And this cracked me up because I was doing some research earlier just to kind of, obviously didn't see it, kind of understanding what it was like and looking at the box score a little bit. And what I found out is that he only had an audience of roughly 4,100 people. How about that? That's so different.
Insulting.
It is a little insulting. But yeah, Wilt Chamberlain, I'm pretty sure someday is going to do what Kareem just did. Now, the problem is with having a Wilt Chamberlain type of handoff. Now, not Wilt himself, but having a Wilt Chamberlain type of like handoff where maybe it's the franchise, maybe it's the NBA who's acknowledging Wilt the way that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was acknowledged as the NBA's all-time scoring champion. But you have to have some indication it's going to happen in order to be prepared. We don't know who, what, where, when, or why. But it would be pretty amazing to, in that moment, stop the game or after the game. I feel like it's important to acknowledge. And there's this changing of the guard, if you will, but we're seeing that coming. We're seeing it because scoring is escalating. The new rules in basketball, and it's not just at the NBA level, though it's very much defined now, and it's a stark contrast where the rules favor the offense and they facilitate spacing and scoring and more flow and more rhythm. And then the advent of the three-point shot. I mean, I swear there are some guys in the league who they break out in hives if they have an opportunity to shoot mid-range jumpers. They can't. There's a mental block there. So the more that we see the three, the higher the scoring goes, the more that the rules and the way games are officiated tilt the court in favor of the offense, similar to what we're seeing when it comes to football, right? And how often you have players that talk about the field being tilted in favor of the offense. It's happening really in every sport. It happens in hockey too. So Wilt will be unseated as the single game scoring champion, if there is such a thing. I wonder what he would have to say about it if he was still around. Actually, it would probably be something spicy. But yeah, I hope that the NBA will be prepared for it because it's coming. I'm going to give it 3 years. I'm going to go 3 years. Our guest earlier from Denver, he was covering Nuggets and Clippers that also went into overtime. Our guest earlier said at this rate, it might be 3 weeks. So you can find our post on Twitter, again, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Look for the Wilt GIF. Although, well, you can tell me if you spot anything wrong with it. Not wrong necessarily, but just odd. Odd about it. Jay's laughing because it took us a minute to figure it out. But you see if you can check it out on our Facebook page with the Wilt GIF. We don't take ourselves too seriously around here. All right, speaking of taking ourselves seriously or taking themselves seriously, the Denver Nuggets, they recognize they've got to protect their territory atop the Western Conference. So after they cough up a big lead against the Clippers, who, boy, did they have a weekend. After they cough up a big lead against the Clippers and they see LA force overtime, well, then it's about planting their feet. It's about getting comfortable again. It's about making sure that they can take care of business and not lose this opportunity in Denver in OT.
Murray, head fake on the three. Back over to Jokic. Good Todd job of killing the clock. Hook shot won't go. Got his own board and put it up and in. 9-point lead for Denver. It's a 9-0 run for the Nuggets to start overtime. Jamal Murray at the midcourt circle. He goes to the right hand, throws it off to Jokic at the nail, spins on Gordon, jumper, got it! Denver's up by 10, they're going to come back and beat the LA Clippers in overtime, 132 to 122.
Jason Kosmicki on Denver Nuggets Radio. The Nuggets go as Nikola Jokic goes, but is there a guy who's more consistent in the league right now? I love what Michael Porter brings to the table. He had nearly 30 points, some huge threes in this game. Talk about a spark plug. He heats up so quickly. And yes, Jamal Murray, one of my favorite players to watch in the league. The pick and roll that he and Jokic do, or the pick and pop, but they do a bunch of different iterations of the standard pick and roll. But when the two of them play that two-man game, it's very effective because Jokic can do so much. He can be a facilitator. He's huge, right? But he can also shoot the three. When he comes barreling down the lane for, it's kind of funny because it's a finger roll, but it doesn't look like a finger roll because he's so tall. 40 points as part of another triple-double. And get this, 14 triple-doubles in 19 games now for Jokic. So I keep asking people, who is the MVP? If not Jokic, then who? Who would you put up against Nikola Jokic? Because if he keeps this up, he's going to run away with his third consecutive MVP. Michael Malone, I feel like he's going to run out of words eventually about his star center.
For me, there's nothing to prove. You know, I mean, I think for everybody in this room, there's nothing to prove. But there's a national audience out there, and then I think it's great that this game was on ESPN so he can continue to showcase his abilities. And I couldn't agree with you more. Nikola impacts the game in so many ways.
So for Michael Malone, he continues to tout Nico as the MVP, Joker as the MVP. I hear Jason Tatum now and then, and I'm not opposed to that. I think what Tatum is doing, the way he's elevated his game, especially in this situation that the Celtics had to start the season, the fact that their coach was ousted, not that they weren't familiar with Joe Mazzulla, but there's a lot of drama and adversity to start the year. And I've been really impressed with how he has not only remained motivated, but remained locked in. Except for, of course, the All-Star break in his vacation where he told us he came back and he wasn't exactly sure what was happening. So Jason Tatum is a good option.
It was either I left all my shooting in Utah or still drunk from vacation.
Yeah,
so that's how I played the night.
There's one game where he wasn't quite his best. But Jokic, I don't know how you can argue with averaging a triple-double as a center. Do you know he's just a tick off, not even a full assist behind the leaders in the NBA? If he would go on this stretch over the rest of the season where he's averaging, say, 11 assists per game, he could end up leading the NBA in assists. It's that tight atop that category. And so what he's doing is pretty phenomenal. Does he look like a giraffe out there sometimes? Yeah, I'm not telling you he's the most fluid, but he gets the job done. And the fact that he's going to be a center who would average these kind of numbers, I think can't be stated enough. And of course, his team is also the number one seed in the West. And like I said, his coach is waving that banner.
Is he going to be a guy that's going to be on SportsCenter making a game-saving block? No, he's not. But his hand-eye coordination, the deflections, the steals, and we've seen it, I think maybe the first MVP year, he had probably earned 4 game-saving blocks in that season. So if you're looking for a super athlete to win MVP, he's not your candidate.
Okay, not your candidate for that, as I say. I mean, I like giraffes. It's totally okay with me. Just a little awkward now and then. So, yeah, he's not Jason Tatum. He's not Damian Lillard. I mean, even Giannis, although he's gangly and very long and that wingspan sometimes doesn't seem to fit. But he – fit his body. But he is very athletic and powerful and explosive. Not really Jokic. But he gets the job done. Maybe that should be to his credit, that he gets the job done anyway. So yeah, if you've got another MVP candidate, I don't think he's a guy that would score 100, but somebody's gonna.
His name is Jason Taylor.
Jason Taylor. He's gonna score 100 in a game. Maybe it's Bronny. Maybe we're gonna see Bronny score. No way. There's no way the rest of the NBA will allow the son of LeBron James to score 100 points. It's not happening. There's no way. There'll be personal vendettas there. No way.
That's what real men do.
All right, so the Nuggets maintain their lead atop the West. The rest of the West is a total crap and trap shoot. It's just, it's insane. We also had a couple of, well, some pretty insane finishes in college basketball. We can't get to them all, but did you see Arizona State on Saturday? If you didn't see it, you'll hear it. And then in addition, we have zero from Aaron Rodgers, but the chatter continues. And Mark Murphy speaks about the possibilities or what we're waiting for or something like that. Maybe he was so exhausted from his darkness retreat that he just went home and fell asleep for a few days. Also, producer Jay comes back from vacation where he's really disconnected for a good week. And he says, so I heard Aaron Rodgers only lasted 2 days. Like, of all the things I heard about Aaron Rodgers, that wasn't one of them. So where did you hear that?
I don't know. I thought that that's one thing I saw in my very limited time on the internet, that he only lasted 2 days. Maybe he was 2 days in at the time, and that's what I saw. I don't know.
I can't believe that that was even a thought while you were on vacation.
I'm offended.
All right. It is a Monday morning. Survive in advance, peeps. Survive in advance. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Now Joe Ingles thought he got fouled in midcourt, but he passes it out to Holiday. Holiday takes it down low. He fades, he fires, and hits. Left baseline jumper from Drew Holiday, who has become the Bucks' primary source of offense with 20 points now in the game. Bucks by six again with 2.5 to play in the third. Middleton running the other way. Takes it all the way in. Puts the shot up and in with a foul. Cash money Middleton never hesitated. Took off. And the rest took care of itself. They're out there with Lopez, Crowder, and Ingles. Holiday pulls up. Shot on the way. Got it. Three-pointer from Drew Holiday, who delivers in the clutch yet one more time. Bucks by two with 2:06 to go.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's 14 straight for the Milwaukee Bucks, who now, once again, are tied in the loss column with the Boston Celtics and are a half game back in the win column. So nipping at the Celtics' heels for the top seed and the best record in the NBA. Dave Kane on Bucks Radio. Jay Crowder against his former teammates, the Suns. He has 7 off the bench. No Giannis Antetokounmpo has a knee injury now that he's dealing with. So a bit of a concern, though. He seemed to be in good spirits. He was on the bench. He was kind of jumping around and gesturing and supporting his teammates. And that includes Brooke Lopez with 22 and Drew Holiday with 33 in this win.
Just the defender he is, the player he is. You know, he's one of the top two-way players in the league, and you know, at least top three, you know, just absolutely phenomenal, you know, just the best two-way player in the league. And those are the plays he makes just time and time again.
That's the voice of Brooke Lopez. So, yeah, you've got some teams that are real hot, that are playing their best basketball, and then you've got this total crapshoot in the West that I have no idea what we're going to see from this point forward. Again, you're talking about, in some cases, 19, 20 games left for these teams. And from the Phoenix Suns in fourth, so the Suns just lost to the Bucks yesterday. From the Suns in fourth place all the way down to the Oklahoma City Thunder in 13th place. So 4 through 13 are separated by 4 games in the standings, but separated by just 3 games in the loss column. That's... The Dallas Mavericks better watch out. They keep coughing up opportunities for wins and snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, and they're going to find themselves in that 7-10 tournament, if not worse. And this is with Kyrie Irving. But sometimes they lose their minds out there, and it's like they forget what's happening. For the second time this season, the Lakers come back from 25-plus down to win a game, and this time it's in Dallas. They're down 27 points in Dallas. They have a 12-0 run in the third quarter that really sparks their rally. And then Jared Vanderbilt, one of their new acquisitions, gets matched up with Luka Doncic primarily in the second half and is able to limit him, but forces him to work real hard for every shot. And so even though Anthony Davis has 30 points, 15 rebounds, what he pointed to was Vanderbilt and the D.
Very valuable. You know, being down 27, 14 in, you know, at half, and he comes out and, you know, set the tone for it defensively on Luka, getting some steals, making him shoot some tough shots, you know, his rebounding on both ends of the floor. They just started, you know, a effect for our group to lock in defensively.
I mean, we still had a big lead. You should never, like, sometimes you're going to lose it, but, you know, like I said, you know, I think we relax a little bit, and we got to work on that.
Not all losses are created equal. And this wasn't at home against a Lakers team that has a hobbled LeBron, kind of. I mean, he had to leave the game for a bit in the third quarter because looked like his ankle needed to be retaped. So maybe he tweaked it. He grabbed his heel while he was on the floor. So he comes back in. But the Lakers are still putting this new look roster together. And they're below 500. They're fighting, scratching, clawing. And that's the difference with the Mavericks, is they weren't using that killer instinct. So I thought it was sort of comical that after they blow a 27-point lead, one of the questions to Jason Kidd post-game is about whether or not he should have called a timeout in the late stages of the game, when by that point it's a loss because the Lakers took over with two-ish minutes to go and didn't give up the lead after that. But it seemed like such a nitpicky thing to ask when they just coughed up this humongous lead and had been embarrassed on their own court.
Yeah, I'm not the savior here. I'm not playing. I'm watching, just like you guys. And as us, as a team, we got to mature. And, you know, we got a lot of new bodies coming back, and we have to grow up if we want to win a championship. There's no young team that's ever won a championship, mentally or physically. And so just to see how we could respond, again, 2.5 quarters, we're playing at a high level on both ends, offensively and defensively. But what the Lakers just showed us is that it's not a race. It's not the rabbit who wins. It's the turtle. And they work the game. And that's where we have to get to. We have to get better at working the game, and we will.
I'm pretty sure he called the Lakers a turtle. Just for point of reference, the Mavs started 4 guys who are over 30. So the only one that they didn't start that was over 30 is Luka, who's about to turn 24, though does have a fair amount of experience. But I will say this, one thing that I don't love about the Mavericks and that seems to stand out to me, and it's not unique to the Mavs, but it does always flag with the Mavs. They argue calls all the time. Luka argues calls all the time. And I get it that superstars are often afforded a different, I guess, tolerance from officials when it comes to arguing calls. But Luka's got to get out of that. He's got to. That's what the coaches are for. Let other people argue the calls for you, unless it's so egregious that your arm is hanging off or your shoulders become dislocated. The problem is that you spend so much time and effort worrying about the calls and worrying about the officials that you're not paying attention to the game, and it gets you out of your rhythm. So Luka did struggle after that first quarter. Let's give credit to Jared Vanderbilt. It's a huge deal, but I understand what Jason is saying, and he's obviously annoyed with his team. I'm not the savior here. I'm watching like you are. They do need to grow up. They do need to mature, and obviously they still need to gel as well. It's important that they take this lesson and don't waste it, because there is so little margin for error in the Western Conference. Now, the East was kind of fun this weekend, but not nearly as much fun as the West. So we've kind of given you a snapshot, at least, of what has happened in the Western Conference the last couple of days. The Clippers, they lose in double overtime against Sacramento on Friday, 176-175. Total insanity. I think, Kawhi had 44 in that one. Then, of course, they come back and they lose in overtime in Denver after their plane gets hit by lightning over the weekend. So they were delayed in getting to the Mile High City. But, yeah, they had quite a weekend. But really, that's just a microcosm for the West. And honestly, is it not a microcosm for basketball in late February, whether we're talking NBA or whether we're talking college? Late stages, as in the very last stages of the game between Arizona and Arizona State on Saturday.
Get to Cambridge. Cambridge push one up. Good if it goes. The shot is good! Jasmine Cambridge wins it for the Sun Devils! From past midcourt, Arizona State gets a massive win! The Sun Devils' leading scorer puts it on ice! The Sun Devils upset number 7 Arizona!
I still don't know how to feel. That was probably, that's definitely the craziest experience, the best game like I've ever been a part of, but it literally hasn't even set in yet. So, yeah, you have to ask me next game.
So that's the call on the Arizona Sun Devils radio network, and it's Desmond Cambridge after the fact who says the craziest thing he's ever been involved with in basketball. I would say so. A 60-footer at the buzzer as the Sun Devils are able to come back against Arizona. So their rival, obviously, the Wildcats did not do a good job protecting their second half lead, and actually 6 minutes without a field goal as Arizona State is climbing back into it. So just one highlight from the weekend that was in college basketball. There were other buzzer beaters as well. Man, we had Jason Tatum of the Celtics with a late game-winning jumper against the Sixers on Saturday night, only to turn around and see Joel Embiid hit a three-quarter court shot that was just a tick too late. So, yeah, it's you can feel the electricity, the energy, and also the chaos starting to ramp up in basketball at every level. All right, find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm giving it 3 years before somebody matches Wilt. Also on our Facebook page, there's photos from the weekend, too.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I have no problem with Ian Rappaport, Schefter. I think they're really good at their jobs. When it comes to me, they don't know They really don't. They don't have inner source. They don't have people in my inner circle who are sources. I can promise you that. And anybody who would talk to them is not in my inner circle. It's that simple.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Anytime he tells you he doesn't care, just know he's lying. He cares. Maybe cares more than he wants to admit. Methinks he doth protesteth too much when he says he doesn't care, because then he gets all fired up when people try to jump the gun or believe they know what he's going to do before he knows what he's going to do. Or
how could you possibly say that?
Maybe he does know what he's going to do, but he loves to play the clock as well. We know that. Rodgers is fairly masterful. And I don't think we should be as naive as to believe it's not intentional in many cases where he milks the spotlight and milks the opportunities. And in this particular case, I think he just loves playing with people. He's that type of personality, just loves to play with people who think they want to break the story before he's ready. And I don't love that. I mean, I hated it for Tom Brady that the reports were out there before he retired the first time that he was about to retire and he didn't have the opportunity to do it himself, which is why it was a simple video put out on social media to announce it the second time. And so Aaron Rodgers, it's his story and he should be able to tell it, but also he's one of the most high profile NFL players on the planet. And he does attract a lot of a spotlight because of the interviews that he does weekly with Pat McAfee, of course, which is where that came from. Not last week, though, because as we understand it, which I guess we'll get some clarification at some point, he was in the darkness in Oregon. I now know more than I ever wanted to know about the darkness retreat. But here's the deal. There's a fireplace in the place. So, yeah, it's not complete darkness if there's fireplace and people are opening the door every single day to be able to bring you food. So, A lot of the jokes now fall short, to be sure, because it's not a complete darkness retreat. It's more about the quiet, the solitude, the meditation, whether you want to do yoga, I would be sleeping, whatever you need.
Box breathing.
It's just a chance to get away is really what it is. And yes, practice your box breathing too. There's a light switch right there if you need it to take a bath or something. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Haven't heard from Aaron Rodgers yet. Also have heard nothing with the Lamar Jackson Baltimore Ravens standoff. And that includes even the franchise tag. And it's interesting the way the reporting around their situation has turned as well, because this contract standoff has now been going on for weeks. And according to some of the insiders, there is such a large gap between what the Ravens are willing to guarantee and what Lamar Jackson wants, which is fully guaranteed money, that there's a lot more people now who are starting to believe that that is a divorce in the making. We don't have any clarification or any type of a resolution with the Giants and Daniel Jones, though that I think is more overblown because they can franchise him and still be paying him a salary that they're comfortable with and yet have some more time to get that deal done and maybe another year to see what he can do under Brian Daboll. So lots of quarterback questions, of course. We don't know, though, about the kingpin, the number one, I think right now, option for a lot of teams, if they thought they could get him, would be Aaron Rodgers. And that certainly is the Jets, maybe the Titans as well. All the Jets are also promising their other, I don't want to call it girlfriend, but potential girlfriend, that she'll be a Hall of Famer if she comes to play in New York.
Crap. It's like, yes.
It's so goofy. It's a chessboard. I'm not using the carousel metaphor anymore. It's a chessboard. There's all kinds of strategy. But for the Packers, they wait, like the rest of us. It was interesting to hear from Mark Murphy, Packers president, over the weekend when he was asked about Aaron Rodgers and the potential in 2023.
Obviously, Aaron's been a great player for us. And, you know, I think he needs some time to figure out if he wants to keep playing. And you know, it's... You know, it's a grind, you know, a long right. season. And, you know, so he's taking his time. I do think we'll find out pretty soon if he wants to play and, you know, where he'd prefer to play.
Pretty soon. I feel like that's fairly relative. Mark Murphy on Sirius XM NFL Radio. So what about the waiting? What's the impact on the Packers?
I mean, you know football and you know football coaches. They want to yeah. everything planned. And, yeah. Yeah, you know, I think as long as it doesn't drag out too long, but yeah,
oh,
you're right.
Too
I mean,
long.
We, yeah, you know, we have decisions to make, and you know, particularly with the salary cap and getting ready for the draft and free agency, you want to know where you stand.
I feel like anything is better than him going completely AWOL and radio silent. Was it two years ago in the offseason where no one heard from him, and then he comes back from wherever he was. It was like a offseason. Well. Is that the offseason where he was engaged? I think it was, actually.
I got engaged.
Wait, maybe not, because he was the COVID MVP, as he likes to remind us.
I mean, who can say that they won MVP of COVID?
No, it was. It was post-2020, because he went radio silent, and the Packers, nobody heard from him, and he comes back from his sabbatical, his... off-season darkness retreat, and he then goes on, what was it, like a 30-minute soliloquy about all the things that were wrong with the Packers and all the ways that he felt like they were disconnected but that they were in a much better place. And since then, lots of reports indicate that he, and even coming from Aaron and Brian Gutekunst specifically, they've indicated they're in a much better place. I don't know. I hesitate to say much because... I would say 99% of the people that were talking about Tom Brady when the season was over, this is people inside the NFL, whether insiders, reporters, or just members of the NFL fraternity, almost to a man said that they were sure he was going to play again. And he doesn't. He's gone for now. Well, what about Aaron Rodgers? Most people, I haven't heard even one person think that he's going to retire. Everybody thinks he's going to play, and then there's really the split on which way he's going to go. Is he going to stay with the Packers? We've had reports. We've had not just reports from anonymous sources, but actual sources come out and tell us why he's going to do this or he's going to do that. So, I don't know. We wait.
Don't make it up, okay?
Swear, that's why it's taking longer. He's not in any hurry because he knows people are waiting on him. He's a contrarian. Have you not figured it out yet? Aaron Rodgers wants to do the exact opposite of what everyone thinks he's going to do. What everyone says he's going to do, he wants to do the opposite, which I guess could be the reason why he decides to walk away.
You do a great job, but not when it comes to my life, so stop talking about me.
Producer Jay loves Aaron Rodgers getting uptight. Aaron Rodgers pushing back.
It's the best.
But what's better, though, the drops from Aaron or the drops from Kevin Durant? Because you also love the Kevin Durant drops. Now, Mike Tomlin is in a completely different category. He actually inspires us to run through walls. sort of. Actually, I've invited Jay to try running through the double pane glass that's separating the two of us, just based on Mike Tomlin inspiration, and he won't yet sacrifice his face to do that. So I guess not quite through the wall, but we love Mike Tomlin. He's in a completely different category because we enjoy and smile at what he has to say. Most of the time with Aaron Rodgers and Kevin Durant, while we may be laughing, we're mostly rolling our eyes.
It's pressure because I'm one of the best players to ever play the game.
Ever, to ever play the game. Do you think that was like the most important thing he needed to tell the Suns fans? I am the one of the best players to ever step on a court.
He went into that conference knowing that at some point that was going to come out of his mouth. He didn't know where, but he knew that he had to say that. Yes.
It was skillfully and deftly placed.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so we've also got NHL trade deadline is coming up, too, and there are moves that are being made. I would say right now the rich get richer. It's what we're seeing, at least at what it feels like, is that the teams that are out of it, they're kind of divesting pieces. Or the teams that have expiring contracts at the end of the year, they're also divesting pieces. So, yes, the Bruins have gotten more depth, which really is bad news for the rest of the NHL. And the Devils picked up star forward Timo Meier from the Sharks on Sunday night as well. Still waiting on Patrick Kane. When was the last time I actually finished a show talking about hockey? Ooh, good for me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!